Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Stoke, you and I were reacting to something that Nick Ferguson said this morning when he was hanging out with Mike Evans.
That's what hanging out with Mike Evans will do to you. Make you just act crazy and say crazy things. And that's what Nick did. I don't blame Nick. I blame Mike. That's what happens when you hang out with Mike.
You should
do a show with Mike. You just say crazy things.
Ain't that the truth?
Just figure that out.
You should get paid double when you work with us.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like overtime.
Yeah.
Time
You're
and a half.
Legal weed.
Yeah, time and a half for working with Evans. Kidding aside, they were having a conversation and Nick was just beaming with optimism about the Broncos and what their potential can be this year. And he began by saying that the Broncos can start 4-0. And the first four games of the Broncos season is at the Raiders, home against the Bears, at the Packers, home against the Jacksonville Jags. And I think I'm just going to stop saying Jaguars because I get too much heat on the Suns. Yeah. I think they're just the Jags
for
me for now.
Jags. Because I say,
you know, we say Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Jaguars. Like, okay. The Jags.
No, we say, just say it however you want to.
All right.
They got Jaguars.
They got the Jaguars week four.
I think you say it great. You nailed it.
Which one of those games instills the most, I don't want to say fear, but maybe just lack of confidence? Because I got to be totally honest with you.
I mean, I don't fear any of them, really. Look, if we're playing the Bears in Chicago, I'd say Chicago. But we're playing the Bears at home. So I'm expecting that to be a close football game that could go one way or the other in the fourth quarter. Who's going to make the plays, you know, the two or three plays in that game to swing it? So, I don't fear the Raiders and that team. I don't think the Broncos are going to win that game, but I don't fear them. I don't think that the Broncos can't beat them. So there's none of them. There's none of them that I really, you know, that I look at and say, oh, we're playing, you know, the New England Patriots in New England. That's, you know, put that as a definite loss.
Well, I'm glad that that's your takeaway because I look at those first four games of the year and you know what they look like to me? Just NFL teams. Like they're going to bring their own challenges each week. You could absolutely get beat by all four of them as it is the case with every NFL week. But I got five other games on this schedule that I look to and say, oh, I'm much more worried about that game than any one of those first four. Like the either game against Kansas City, at the Colts, at the Texans, like I prioritize at the Chargers, all those games take precedent before those first four games of the year. Now, I'm not saying it's a layup by default, like the Broncos are going to inherently, you know, win any of these games, but I'm just not shaking in my boots here. And I think they being the Raiders, Bears, Packers, and Jags, when they take a close look at the Broncos, they're going, that's going to be a tough one.
Sure, especially here. And that place will be rocking, you know, early in the season.
Per usual.
Right? Everybody's optimistic. You got a new coach. You got a new quarterback. Everybody wants to see this product. So Chicago Bears, you know, on the 15th, 2:25 kickoff, the place is going to be rocking. It's going to be jumping. So it's going to be a tough, tough environment for the Bears. I look at those first four games, and I think 2-2 would be a solid start. Like, that would be, okay, we're off on the right foot here. Now let's get some momentum going for the rest of this season. But I don't think they're going to go 3-1. I don't think they're going to go 4-0. Like Nick does, I don't think they're going to go 0-4, but I think they could go 1-3 here.
Mm. Does that look like starting 0-3 and beating the Jags week four?
I don't know what it looks like, but I have them losing to the Raiders, and then after that, you know, is it beating the Bears? Is it beating the Jags at home?
Which? How about this? A couple of minutes ago, I just said which of those strikes the most fear, and then you said none of them. Which game of the first four are you the least confident in? How about that?
Oh.
Is it week one?
That's where I'm leaning. That's where I'm leaning. We struggle in Oakland. First game of the year. What is this team? Who is this team? I would say Lambeau. That's a tough one. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, I think they'll be improved. I don't know who Jacksonville is going to be this year. I mean, they took a huge step back. Will they rebound? Well, you know, they one guy quit this offseason. Telvin Smith or something, one of their better linebackers has quit. They got a guy holding out. What is Nick Foles going to look like? You know, Jalen Ramsey's a head case. He's a little bit like OBJ. You know, you don't know what you're going to get with them.
Mm-hmm.
So who's Jacksonville this year? They might be a complete disaster.
They could be.
Might be a dumpster fire. They might figure things out, though. And, you know, who's Leonard Fournette? I mean, is he going to eat his way out of the league, and or is he going to get his stuff, you know, fixed this year? So
they got a weight problem.
Yeah,
does he?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, got to keep his weight down a little bit. But I mean, so I don't know about Jacksonville. It might be a layup for the Broncos come week four. They might, you know, my team might just be a dumpster fire there. But. I'm leaning towards Oakland, really. Chicago at home. I mean, I just think the first game on the road, it's just tough. It's tough to we never beat Oakland twice. It seems like, and
it's been years.
Yeah, it's been a while. So, as painful as that is, I think that's just the truth.
Which are you the most confident in?
I would say Jacksonville at home. How about you? I mean, what's
same, yeah. same, and just knowing what we know now, I don't know how the answer could be any different than the Jacksonville Jags at home. By the way, there's like this assumption that they're going to drop Nick Foles in there and that their offense is going to be just.
Right.
I just don't. It doesn't work like that.
Nope,
doesn't work like that.
You're the guy. He's the guy now. So it's different being the guy.
Yeah, and that setup in Philly was unique.
Right, you're in a different environment, different system. It's just not the same. So can he duplicate what he did in a limited time there in Philly, or will he look like the Nick Foles, you know, 3-4 years ago, Nick Foles, where he's retiring from football, Nick Foles? He wanted to be done. So we'll see what he looks like.
Last night was a fun night at Coors Field, and we saw the return of cargo, and I'm getting some heat on the RamosLaw.com text line
for something
I said a little
you
bit
should be.
Earlier
in
the show, and I'm going to defend myself next. And I won't. Because earlier in the show, I said I believe Peter Lambert was going to struggle tonight. And by God, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm dead wrong.
No, don't say that. Don't do that. Just look, don't do that. We don't need to know all that stuff. Just tell us that he's going to have a bad performance, and that's you're sticking to your guns. Don't start, you know, trying to sugarcoat it and say one bad thing, but also say, but I, you know, I'm hoping I come in here and be wrong.
Wait, so you're basically telling me that I can't tell the truth? Because both of those things are true. I think Peter Lambert is going to struggle for the reasons.
And then leave it at that. Just leave it at that.
No, that's all
that needs to be said.
No.
Am I right or wrong here?
No.
Am I right or wrong? You don't need to, like, you know, backtrack on, but I hope I'm wrong. We all know you hope you're wrong. You don't have to say that every time you say something negative.
Oh.
Okay. If you say something negative about a local sports team here, okay.
Try to cover my tracks.
You don't have to cover the tracks by saying, you know, I hope I'm wrong.
Well, how about this?
Okay.
I believe.
Because
Peter Lambert is going to struggle tonight because he's making his second ever start against the same lineup that he just faced 3 times 5 days ago. Now, here's something that we know as baseball fans, and we heard Pedro Gomez echo this morning on Schlereth and Evans, that usually, not always, but usually when the pitcher-batter matchup matures, so the two guys have seen each other a while, not the first time. Who does it usually favor? Usually favors the offense.
Yes.
So this kid has his second consecutive start against the same lineup 5 days after the fact, and now he's pitching in Coors Field, which is a hell of a lot different than Wrigley. And I just believe he's going to struggle for that reason, not because of who Peter Lambert is now as a pitcher or who he's going to be. No, just because of the proximity between the first two starts of this kid's career in the major leagues against guys like, you know, Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber and these terrific sticks, that you get a seventh, an eighth, a ninth opportunity against a kid who's 22, Within 5 days, I just don't like his chances. And guess what? I hope I'm wrong.
Boom!
I do hope I'm wrong.
You don't get to say that. Stop saying that.
Just
state your point. You gave a valid reason why. Everybody knows you're a Rockies fan. That doesn't mean you can't predict something bad to happen or not good to happen. So there's no need to put that in there anymore.
All right.
And if I do it, because I'm sure I do it too, then call me out, please.
Okay.
Okay? We good?
We are more than good.
And I got you. I do. I don't know. We'll put a coffee on it. I got Lambert tonight.
How do we quantify it?
I don't know. Do we have a poster board? Where's the poster board?
How about this?
Where is it? You still haven't brought it 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
2 weeks ago, you're supposed to bring a poster board in to track our wagers that we have for coffee, and it's still not here. But you said you had one at home. It's right there. I just got to bring it in.
How about this? I promise you, if I do not bring that piece of poster board in tomorrow, I will bring you 10 coffees.
10!
10!
10!
Make it a 10!
10!
Yeah!
10! Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
Being dead serious.
Okay. Oh, I know. I trust me. You said it. You, no matter what you say now, you can say I was just joking or too late.
10.
Okay. All right. I like that. I got Lambert tonight. I don't know. I just think this kid has the tools. I don't think he's going to read a lot into it. I think sometimes when you're a good pitcher, it don't matter who you see. You know, Clayton Kershaw is seeing all these guys in the West over and over again. He goes out there and dominates. Greinke, same thing. Like, if you're good, you're good. And I realized, look, he's still really young, and he's not at that level.
You just said he was at the level.
He's not at that level.
Clayton Kershaw.
But I think he goes out there and deals again. I think, I'll say this, he doesn't take the loss tonight. Okay?
Okay.
He doesn't won't take the loss tonight.
Is that how we're quantifying it here?
I don't know. Does that work for you?
I don't think it does. How about this? How about this? Because those win loss the way that they do it, I just don't like it.
You don't like the win losses.
I just think it can be misrepresentative of how like
he could give up 8 runs and still win 9-8.
That's right. Or he could hold them to 1 run and lose. You know, who was it 2 years ago for the New York Mets? Was it
DeGrom?
Was it DeGrom? That had an ERA under 2.
That was last year.
Was it just last year?
It was last year.
They said if the Mets scored just 2 runs every outing, he would have won like 19 games.
Yeah.
So I don't like that fickle nature of the assignment of a wins and loss.
Like
how about this? If he's out there in the seventh inning, then if he's just out there, if he is on the mound in the seventh inning, that means he had done a good enough job.
Yeah, but see, I don't like, this is why I don't like, what if he pitches 6 2/3 and gives up 1 run and, you know, all of a sudden they want a different matchup there with, you know, Schwarber coming up to bat lefty on lefty. And so, you know, they want to bring a lefty in for him or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't like that because of that.
Okay.
He might pitch 6 great innings and he throws 105 pitches and Buddy's like, huh, we're not going to put him out there for any more pitches.
How about if he's in the 6th? How about he's in the 6th? Is that fair? Okay. So if he's out there in the
if see he, how I did if, that, Steven. See how I did that. Got that extra inning down.
You rat.
Got him, coach.
You snake.
Okay, right when he said it's a deal, boom, can't backtrack now.
So if he's out there, if he pitches 1 pitch in the 6th inning, I will gladly bring you a coffee.
Okay. And look, I'll even admit it. If he's not looking good in the 6th, I won't take the coffee.
Ow. It's got to be a black and white approach here. Okay. If he's in the 6, you win.
All right.
I hope I'm wrong.
I think we'll be able to tell whether he pitched good or he didn't pitch good. And I believe he will. I believe he will. We'll see. And obviously, the Cubs will be making adjustments like they should. They're professional hitters. A lot of really good hitters on that team. And it's his first ever home start, too. So, you know, he's feeling the heat a little bit.
And that's the difference here. And I'm glad you just brought that up because a week ago, he's a young kid, and it's almost like you used to talk about the Nuggets with the playoffs, like too young and foolish to realize how big the spot is. The kid didn't know he was going to be pitching at Wrigley 48 hours before it happened. Boom, boom, he gets called up. You just react to the moment. He goes out and pitches great. Now you got 5 days to think about it, and you're coming back at home to what should be a great crowd tonight. I know it was a terrific crowd last night, being the Cubs in town, but it's going to be another early test for this kid's career of How can you, you know, because last week he was so poised and so measured. Now that it has time to saturate the situation that you're in, how do you respond to it?
Sure. We'll see. We'll see. Obviously, a little bit different now. I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him. If the first game moment wasn't too big for him, this moment's not going to be too big for him. You know, 48 hours is still 48 hours.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So that's a lot of time to think about.
But you got
to
get up there from Albuquerque. Where am I going to stay?
I don't care. You know, you ever been on a plane and being really nervous? I have. You know, going for like a workout or something. I mean,
sure.
And that's like 24 hours. So like 48 hours, you know, you're making your first ever start and it's not at home. Oh, guess by. Oh, it's at Wrigley. Pretty cool place to pitch, right? Against the Cubs, pretty good lineup. So, you know, the environment's going to be great. He had a great outing. So I don't think the moment will be too big for him. So we'll see how he does. And I think he's going to do good. And it's a shame that you don't think he's going to do good.
But, you are really something.
It's okay. You don't like Peter.
Ramos
Law. Seem like a good kid.
.com text line. Stokely, tell that clown next to you.
Oh.
I believe he's going to have a lousy dinner tonight. Thanks.
Wow.
Love your show. How did we get here?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Could we see a former Bronco Stoke shine with the Patriots this season? I'm not talking about DT. Details next. So could we see a former Bronco shine with the Patriots this season? And I'm not talking Demaryius Thomas. This was mentioned last week on the air by Cecil Lammy. Cecil and I were talking about it in person leading up to those comments because both of us think it's, I don't know if it's interesting or what, I don't know how to quantify it, but you look at what's happening in New England. And I say a former Bronco shining with the Patriots. I'm not talking Demaryius Thomas. And it's going to be interesting to track DT this training camp, by the way.
Yeah.
I know we'll both be rooting for him despite playing for the Patriots. See if he's got something left in the tank. But I'm talking about the tight end position. Because Rob Gronkowski has retired. Okay. And whether he... There's some speculation that he may not stay retired until I know that he's not. All signs are pointing towards this dude is retired, at least for this year.
Look, he was trending down, okay, Gronk was. He's still a very good player, but he wasn't the same player he was 3 years ago, okay? And you could tell he was slowing down a little bit. If you don't go through the offseason and training camp and you think you're just going to show up week six or whatever and be the same player, you're mistaken. It just doesn't work that way. And so I don't think he's going to try that type of comeback. Now, if he stays in great shape and is grinding and working hard, I think he could come back and you know, be a solid player, but he's not going to be Gronk anymore.
And to your point, this past year in 13 games, he was 682 yards and just 3 touchdowns. So
there you go.
For someone else, like we would take that here from just about anyone. But for Gronkowski is far below the cry, even what he was the year before, where he's over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. But anyway, so Gronk is retired. The Patriots cut Austin Seferian Jenkins during OTAs. And Benjamin Watson is going to miss the first 4 games of the season.
They can't lay off the juice.
Due to suspension.
For PEDs.
Yeah. So it looks like, enter stage left, Matt Lacoste. To be the starting center for the Patriots. Or starting tight end, rather. You can play center,
wow.
Too.
You might have to. More you can do.
The more you can do.
The more valuable you are.
But it,
how about Matt Lacoste?
It looks like Matt Lacoste. And I don't want to... Let me just say this. I believe if Matt Lacoste is a starting center for the Patriots, I think he's going to do
center.
Really well.
You said center
again. I said it again. I'm sorry.
Holy cow.
Starting
focused.
Tight end for the Patriots. I think he's going to do all right.
What is all right?
550 yards, 4 touchdowns for the season.
No chance.
You don't.
No.
Matt LaCosse can't go for 550 yards?
No.
For the season?
No. I, what else do I think for his career? No.
All right.
It ain't happening. No chance. No chance.
No chance.
No chance. It ain't happening. Ain't happening.
Who's going to have more receiving yards for the Patriots this year, Demaryius Thomas or Matt LaCosse?
Well, DT, you know, he's got to earn a spot. I think LaCosse might be just a spot because he's got nobody else there anymore. Really? I mean, who else is there? The receiver room in New England is pretty full. So DT got to earn a spot. I mean, LaCosse has to earn a spot, but I think his route to the roster is a lot easier. If they both make this team, I think it's DT.
Okay. DT over under 450 yards this year.
Over.
Okay. I like that, too. I like that, too. And they got another big body receiver coming in there who probably learned a lot from Demaryius and N'Keal Harry coming out of Arizona State, who they picked at the end of the first round. You watched the Nolan play again.
Yes, I did.
You watched the Nolan, because earlier in the show, I said, hey, did you see that glove flip from Nolan? And you go, yeah, I saw it. It's like, I didn't think it was that impressive. And I'm just like, hold on. Timeout. Give me a 30. And you said, hey, I'll go rewatch it. I'll watch it for a second time and I'll reevaluate.
Right.
And you did that during the break.
I did.
And
it was pretty cool. It was. I mean, I didn't say it wasn't cool the first time, but it was better than when I watched it the first time. I like that, just the backhanded flip.
To a bare hand as well.
Well, that doesn't make it. What do you mean?
It adds some pizzazz onto it.
Why? If he would have caught it to his glove, it would have been not as cool?
Well, because typically, if Nolan's making a play, he's throwing it with his bare hand into Ryan McMahon's glove. This time, it's going from Nolan's glove into Ryan McMahon's bare hand.
Who cares, Zach?
Oh, anyway, you're talking about sprinkles. You're talking about sprinkles that made the play more special.
No, it didn't. No,
so
no,
it didn't make it more special that Ryan McMahon barehanded
it. No. Not to me.
Not even by a half a percent.
I like how you did that, though. No, not to me it didn't. No. Just the play itself was really cool. You know, going that way, like flicking the ball with your gloves, not easy.
It's not. Because you got to put enough on it to get there.
Right.
I mean, it's not like a baby toss. He's actually putting some little bit of mustard on it.
Yeah, and it's not an easy thing to do. Throw it like that far when you're running the opposite direction with your glove. Really cool play. Will it be on his top five?
No.
Okay,
no.
I'm with you.
I was going to say, like, top 20? It could be there.
Top 20, yeah, I think so. I think so. That was a cool play. Going all the way across to his left and still having the enough strength to flick it with his glove.
Pretty cool.
And the bare hand. That did it. Just the bare hand made the play. So glad that guy, McMahon, got it with his bare hand. That made the play. That was it. I don't even know what Arenado did. It was the bare hand. Sealed the deal for me. Deal sealer. Just catch it with your bare hand.
You are something. Cecil Lammy listed three players who will get a second chance this season with the Broncos. Who were they, and do we agree? We'll take a dive into it next. 1043thefan.com's Cecil Lammy, Cease the Deece. In a recent piece, he outlined how three current Broncos could be in line for a second chance this season. Now, before we get into his piece, if I said, hey, who's in line for a second chance as a Bronco? Does anyone come to mind?
Second chance. Sua Cravens, I would say, is one. Air Bowles?
That's a good one. It's not on Cecil's list. Sua Cravens is.
Okay, that one didn't make the list. Talking about second chances. Mm-hmm. Trying to think about this offensive line. I don't really see anybody there. I mean, one candidate would be Ron Leary. Wide receiver-wise, we don't really have anybody, I think, on the second chance.
Mm.
Oh, we do. Emmanuel?
Mm-mm. It's his first chance at a second chance.
Oh.
At wide receiver.
I'm really confused.
Brandon Langley.
Oh.
First chance to play a wide receiver, but second chance to make an impact on this football team.
I'd probably go with Garrett Bowles over Langley. So I'd have Bowles. I would have Sua Cravens. Oh, and then you go to the defense. Huh. That's a tough one.
2017 draft.
Who was in the 2017 draft?
You had Garrett Bowles in the first round. DeMarcus Walker in the second round.
There you go.
Bingo.
Walker, okay.
That's his three.
I like that. I like the Walker one. I like the Sua Cravens one. I don't like the Langley. I would prefer Bowles.
Okay. Wait, by the way, Langley was a third round pick in that class.
Langley was a third rounder.
So, so you could reasonably say that picks one, two, and three in the 2017 class. That just goes to show you, man.
Going into year three.
2017, first round, Garrett Bowles. Second round, DeMarcus Walker. Third round, Carlos Henderson. Fourth round, or another third round pick, Brandon Langley. Holy moly, look at that Fantastic Four. Holy moly. The class of 2017 is legendary for all the wrong reasons.
Just give me the whole draft.
Okay. Garrett Bowles, round one. DeMarcus.
Tone setter.
How about this?
For that draft class.
How about this? You give me a grade on these guys so far as Broncos. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Garrett Bowles, first round pick.
D plus.
DeMarcus Walker, second round pick.
Zero. Like, you never even showed up to class, dude.
Like, do you even go here?
Right. You just showed up for tests and like, who is this guy?
Third round pick, Carlos Henderson.
What's below a zero? That's like, I don't know. He didn't even know he was registered in the class. So he didn't go to the test or class. Like,
He's not even in the district.
Right.
I think he's getting homeschooled now.
He just went to the wrong school.
The other third round pick, Brandon Langley.
F minus F.
Fifth round pick, Jake Butt.
Fifth round pick, Jake Butt, is a
your boy.
Relax.
Your boy.
I'm giving him an incomplete.
Oh, come on.
They still got time to let him make it up. You're going to be able to make this test up, Jake. Don't worry about it. You're my guy. I know why you missed the test. You did bad on it. I'm going to pretend like I'm going to let you retake it. Okay? Wait, I got your back.
Still, so, what's his grade so far?
I just told you what his grade is.
You've been here for 2 years.
Not everybody's treated equally, Zach, in class or in sports. And I'm the teacher here. I'm passing out the grades. And I'm just giving Jake an incomplete, and I'm letting him retake the test.
Oh.
Okay?
Had trouble with his locker, just things went wrong.
Don't even need to explain it to me. I don't need to hear why. Just don't worry about it. I got your back. We're going to retake that test. And he's going to retake the test in 2019.
Yours.
And then I'm going to give you a grade after that. Okay? Right. I'll give you a grade after that. But right now it's incomplete.
The other fifth round pick.
Wait. Oh, let me even think if I could even guess who this other fifth round pick is. Who?
He was billed as Tyreek Hill Light.
Oh, McKenzie.
IMAC. Do you remember that? He's got some Tyreek Hill qualities.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember that? Do you remember those comparisons?
Sure. Oh,
IMAC.
Cow.
Sitting at home on his iPad.
No. He's Buffalo balling.
Oh, that's right.
Dude, don't forget, he got in the zone a couple times. Didn't he?
He had the one end around touchdown, I remember, that was like a little trickery a little bit.
This is a breakout year.
Bounced to the outside.
Here with Denver, look, we saw all those fumbles.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Hard to forget.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Five.
Wow. That's
five.
Not one.
Five.
Not two.
Five.
Not three.
Five.
Yeah. And you put a lot on that coaching staff too.
Oh,
at a certain point, you know, after three, you're just like, we're done.
Right.
I'm done with
the responsibility gets transferred to
when
the
Bill
feet
Belichick just says, you know, kind of laughs at you for the way you've handled that situation.
He's like, that's what he does, or whatever he said in that post game. That's right. That's right. He said, that's what he does.
He kind of clowned you
as a
coach.
He did.
You know you're going way overboard in that situation. So, I mean, Isaiah McKenzie, obviously, F.
D'Angelo Henderson.
A+.
Friend of the show, D'Angelo Henderson.
That's right. Hey, it's always good to be friends with the teacher.
Right.
Right? So he gets an A+. Good friend of the show.
We did like him. They didn't really take him seriously ever.
Another Jamal Charles. Like, we never got to see him. But look, you know who we got to see? We got to see C.J. Anderson just, like, you know, inch over that 1,000 yards. And so everybody was so proud of that.
1,009.
Great. What accomplishment that was, right?
It was about 18 feet over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, what an accomplishment. Oh, I'm so glad we did it. How many games? No, it doesn't matter. C.J. got over 1,000, though. Didn't want to take a look at D'Angelo Henderson, a guy who could have been a real difference maker.
And you remember they incorporated him in the one game, like, late, and he, like, bounced, he broke three tackles and went for a touchdown. Yes, they did.
Was that from Paxton?
I forget, but it was on the right side of the field. He broke three tackles.
Against the Chiefs?
And we're like, wait, no one's broken a tackle all season long. In the one game you got this guy involved, he runs for a 30-yard touchdown.
Preseason, he kills it, and I mean, it was a shame. I mean, that just kind of sums it up. Jamal Charles, D'Angelo Henderson. But D'Angelo gets an A from me.
Chad Kelly, final pick of the draft, 7th round.
I'm failing him. He gets an F, man. He screwed this great opportunity up, and he has no one to blame but himself. He's getting another opportunity in Indy, but, you know, could have been, you know, he could have been an A. I mean, he's 7th round pick. That's your backup quarterback making hardly any money and looks the part. You know, he's like, hey, I feel good about that guy going in for a game or two and you know, salvaging the season if need be and winning us a game or two if the starter goes down. But, you know, he had to be Woody and stumble around the neighborhood and go sit on somebody's couch. And so, you know, that's his fault and his doing. And so, unfortunately, you know, I know we're both big fans of him on the football field, but an off-the-field issue caught up with him and you had to get released. And so he's an F.
The reason that we went down this rabbit hole here is that we were talking about these second chances, and look at that class. Holy moly.
The 2017 class, only going into their third year. It is a complete and utter disaster.
I mean, who starts games?
Bowls,
and that's it.
That is it.
I mean, how many combined starts
who's
did
on
the rest
the
of
roster?
The class have?
Who is on the roster right now?
Right now, Bowles, Walker, Langley, Butt, and that's it. So here's a better question. Who will be on the roster when they make the 53?
Well, that was if you just were patient, that was going to be my next question.
Well, I'm not. You're going to be waiting all afternoon here.
Well, the better question here, Zach, is who of this group will be on the 53 at the end of training camp? That's the next question.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that. That's a good one.
I thought it was. That's why I asked it.
Whew.
Take your time here. I don't want to interrupt you. Who's on this roster at the end of training camp?
I wanted to save this for tomorrow.
You did? Well,
because here's the thing.
You really were the one that asked the question.
No, I didn't. I didn't. Did I? Only one player is going to be on this roster. Only one player is going to be on this roster when they make the 53. I believe DeMarcus Walker will be shown the door. I believe Brandon Langley already has one foot out of it. And I believe Jake Butt has just an ACL poking right out of that door.
Oh, my goodness, you did. No, you didn't. Wow. Oh, my goodness. I feel like you took a shot at me right there.
It might have been.
That's my guy.
Kidding aside.
That was messed up.
Would I love for Jake Butt to pan out? Sure. But I just don't think that's the case because I'm hearing about Troy Fumagalli performing well in camp. You did it again.
Let's start over. We're going to work on this.
For the guy. Hope it works out.
Rewind this, Stephen. Rewind it.
Big time rooting for him.
Go.
I hope I'm wrong.
You can't say that. Just say, I believe that Jake Butt's not going to make this football team.
Jake, how about this? Jake Butt will not make this football team.
There you go.
Or they could trade him at some point during camp.
That's fine. I got you.
I just don't see this guy overcoming the other three tight ends to ever really be in the picture, not because of who he is as a player, but because he doesn't play.
Perfect. You nailed it. That's great. We all know that you're rooting for him. I disagree with you, Zach. I think he makes this football team. I think he comes out and has a good camp, and he's healthy. There's only so many times you can blow out your ACLs. He might hurt something else, but those ACLs are not going anywhere.
They're locked in, huh?
Lockdown city, okay? Those things are as good as new. They are not going anywhere. So I don't have any concern with the knees going. He might get hurt somewhere else, and that will be a wrap. But if he doesn't get hurt, he makes this football team. And I do agree with you on the other two, though. I don't think DeMarcus Walker is going to be here, and I don't think, you know, Brendan Langley making the transition. That's just too hard to do. And obviously, Bowles will be around. So I just disagree with you on the one. So I believe there's only going to be 3 years, going into year three.
Wow.
The whole draft class.
Wow.
How many picks is that? 7, 8?
7. Bowles, Walker, Henderson, Langley, Butt, McKenzie, the other Henderson, D'Angelo Henderson. And Chad Kelly. So we got 8 players, and we're talking 1 in year 3.
Not after year 3, going into year 3.
I think it's going to be two. Oh, my goodness.
I think it's going to be 2.
And even if that's the case, Stoke,
it's still alarming.
2 players of an 8-man class on the roster, not even featured, like just be tolerant of them being on the roster going into year 3. That is among the scariest things that we've ever talked about here between noon and 3.
We've talked about some scary things.
We have.
Some scary stuff. And that's might be the scariest.
That is a whew. That's the worst class in football right there from that 2017 group. Show me a worse class.
And there's another point to this whole thing that just I think makes it even more scariest.
More scariest?
Yes.
What a combination. Let me buckle up while I'm doing
buckle
that.
Up.
Hit that snapshot.